Welcome everyone to episode 107 of the NBA podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we're going to talk about who we think should be the All-Star reserves. Before we get underway, wanted to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA pod. In our bio, you can find all of our Twitter handles, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. And we're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports, so check them out on Twitter, at FanRag Sports. And for their NBA content, their handle has changed. It is now FRS Hoops with a Z, so FRS HOOPZ. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
I never get tired of that one.
It's never going away.
It's never going away. Well, I'm excited because I don't care about the All-Star game, and now I have to spend an hour talking about who should play in a game I'm not going to watch. I'm excited, Brian.
Good. Well, so we should clarify a couple things right off the bat. First of all, we are recording this on Friday, January 12th.
Third podcast of the day, of the evening.
Third one, yeah.
Yeah.
So you might say, wait, don't they release the starters on Thursday, January 18th? How are you recording a podcast about the reserves before you know the starters? To which we say that's a fair point, but by the time you're listening to this, I will be in Argentina dining on some steaks and wine every night, and I will be very far removed from being able to podcast, so we are recording this early. The second returns came out yesterday, so we're
going to
So we're basically going to assume that everything holds to form. If something doesn't, if there's a surprise, whatever starter we miss was going to be a reserve anyway, so it shouldn't be a huge deal. But we are going into this assuming in the Western Conference that Stephen Curry and James Harden are the backcourt starting guards selected. In the front court, we are assuming it's Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Draymond Green. Eastern Conference, we are assuming Kyrie, Irving, and DeMar DeRozan are the starting backcourt. Front court would be LeBron James, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Joel Embiid. Again, something could change. Maybe the vote rigging for Manu Ginobili pushes him over the edge past Harden. Who knows? He's now up to 657,000 votes. So our Putin theory is
God damn it, Sarah.
Than ever. Yeah, it's unreal. Unreal. He has, more than four times as many votes as Jimmy Butler. So our plea, the last time we recorded an All-Star podcast, did not hold to form. We should also clarify that as far as we understand, the NBA All-Star Game format has changed, so it won't be, there are still 12 players selected from each conference, but they won't all be, it won't be a Western Conference versus Eastern Conference thing. So as far as we understand, there are still 10 starters selected, 14 reserves selected. We're assuming the starters get split up evenly 5 and 5, reserves split up evenly as well. It's still the same format in terms of roster composition. So the starters are 2 guards and 3 front court, which includes forward and centers. Mm-hmm. For the reserves, each conference needs 2 guards, 3 front court, and then 2 wild cards, which can either be guards or front court players. So keep that in mind as we're building out our faux all-star rosters in the next hour. And last, Rachel Nichols of ESPN has been pounding this drum, and Howard Beck of Bleacher Report has as well. But as of now, the NBA is not planning on televising this All-Star Draft, which I feel strongly is a mistake. I know, Mort, you and Deeks tried to talk me into the reasons behind it, but hopefully they come to their senses in the next 2 weeks. And
no, I mean, I get it from both sides. I get the appeal. Yeah. I definitely get the appeal. The thing is with me, I just didn't care because it's All-Star related. I just look, for me to get interested in the All-Star game, you have to put something on the line. Like something serious on the line. I don't know what. Like home court in the finals or something. But then the thing plays in, right? Like,
right.
Why would we help anyone else? Like, I get it. But something. I don't know what. Put up $1 million, like, each member of the winning team gets $1 million and it has to come out of the paycheck for the opposing team.
That would be pretty good. We could talk. We'll talk again when I'm back from Argentina about the All-Star results.
Yeah, so not jealous, by the way. So not jealous.
Don't be. But we could also talk about ways that we'd like to improve the system. So this will not be our last All-Star podcast, but we wanted to squeeze this one in before I leave, because I don't get back until after the reserves are announced. Let's start with the West. Again, we're assuming Curry, Harden, Durant, Draymond, and Brow are the starters. That leaves room for 7 players in the reserves. I'm just going to start running down the list of names who could be among them. And I think we should either just say they're a lock and move on, or we can say their case is a little iffy, and then we can debate who among the iffy ones fill out
the
roster. Russell Westbrook.
Lock.
Lock. Yeah. DeMarcus Cousins.
Lock.
Yeah. Jimmy Butler.
Lock.
Yeah. LaMarcus Aldridge.
Lock, surprisingly.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I made you come around.
I hadn't realized he's been sneaky. I knew that he had a good start to the year, and he was averaging like I think 19, 20 points a game. I was like, oh, this is looking okay. And then I hadn't checked in on his specific stat line for about 20 games.
Right.
Or I don't know how many games, but suddenly he's up to like 22 and a half.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just backed up what I've been seeing when I watch him play. Like, he's just dominating, and he's doing everything without Kawhi. So, yeah, lock for Aldridge. And we would not have set this last year.
No, not at, right, not at all. But, yeah, I mean, it's for me, it's really, he not only is he doing this without Kawhi, because, his numbers would go up without sharing the ball with a top 5 player in the NBA. But the Spurs have been so good, and that tends to factor into All-Star voting, is like, you know, the teams with the better records usually get at least one or two representatives from each team. Because he's carried the Spurs to the third best record in the West with Kawhi barely playing any games, I think he, as opposed as I am to Monty Ginobili getting into the All-Star game, I would be equally opposed to LaMarcus Aldridge missing the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's completely fair.
Yeah, and I, you know, on Twitter the other night when Lou Williams dropped his 50-pointer against the Warriors, and everyone all of a sudden was like, Lou Williams should be an All-Star. And I posted the list of like, all right, well, who are you cutting? And I got a couple people saying back, like, well, I would cut LaMarcus Aldridge. I'm like, you haven't been paying attention to LaMarcus Aldridge this year if you're saying you would cut him. Okay, so that's, right now, that's 9 that we consider locks. So we have 3 spots left in the West.
Right.
Paul George.
He's not a lock. Mm-hmm. He's a pretty good bet, but he's not a lock.
Yep, I would agree with that. Karl Anthony Towns.
See, this one is a little bit more difficult because I don't think he's been better this year.
Mm-hmm.
But he's still damn good, and I thought he got snubbed last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the raw numbers don't really matter because Jimmy Butler arrived, so obviously those numbers were going to go down.
Yep.
Kind of on the fence about it. A little bit. The team is winning. That helps. So he's in a similar situation as Paul George, which is kind of maybe, but not a lock. Not quite yet.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, he is scoring 5 fewer points a game than he did last year. Rebounding about the same. Blocking more shots, actually. So everything aside from... Yeah, I mean, his three-point percentage has actually gone up. He's hitting 1.5
a game. He's more refined, but...
Yeah. But
he's still not the defender.
The per game volume in terms of, I mean, the coaches choose all of this. So I don't think they're going to just be looking at spreadsheets and like, oh, well, his scoring average dropped 5 points a game, so he can't be. But I agree with you. He should not be considered a lock. He's a very viable candidate.
Yeah.
We'll debate him in a little bit.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson.
Semi-lock. A little bit higher on the list for him in regards to, like, Paul George.
Okay.
But still not, like, absolutely surefire, no doubt, in my mind kind of lock. No.
I would agree with that. Damian Lillard, who we discussed in our last episode.
Yeah, probably a little bit down.
Further than the rest of the guys?
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's still scoring at a tremendous level, but his efficiency had gone down, his volume has gone down, and again, like, he just seems to be kind of stuck right now. Mm-hmm. The Blazers need a jumpstart. Not a jumpstart. They need an addition that can help them inspire a little bit more. We thought Jusuf Nurkić would be that guy. Right. And to his credit, he sort of was last year. Yep. Then he carried it over somewhat this season. Now they need, like, another push, another guy to come in there.
Yeah.
I haven't been, like, entirely impressed with Lillard's ability to just take the team on his shoulders and then just lead them. So he's probably on the outside looking in.
Yeah. I mean, so he's missed, let's see, 7 games already. He has this calf injury that's been lingering. Mm. His scoring output, likewise, down slightly, not as much as Towns. He averaged 27 a year last year. He's down to 25 this year. Assisting a little bit up. Rebounds, the exact same. Pretty much everything else, like, three-pointers, steals, blocks are all within the same more or less margin of error. Field goal percentage is down, so I'm with you. Definitely not a lock. We'll debate his place among the reserves in a little bit. The other big name, probably Chris Paul.
He's missed 17 games. Mm-hmm. So because of that, and that is only because of that, because he's been playing magnificently.
Mm-hmm.
Outside looking in, very much like Lillard.
Yeah, I think it pains me to say that, because as you said, I mean, he, you know, there are so many concerns about him and Harden coming into the year. How would they share the ball? He's, you know, he's so used to being like the main guy who dribbles the ball up the court every time. He's averaging yeah. over 18 points, 9 assists, 5.5 rebounds in 32 minutes. Yeah, like, those questions have been put to bed. The Rockets, you know, they've been banged up a lot this year in terms of, like, Paul has missed a lot of time. Now Harden's out. PJ Tucker's been out for a little bit. Luke Mbamute also is hurt. Mm. So, like, we haven't seen the full-powered Rockets as much as we would have liked. But, I mean, they're still, what, second in the West right now? Like, they're...
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're...
I mean, usually a team like that gets 2 All-Stars. So I think there is a case to make for Chris Paul, even though he's missed that much time. That said...
Yeah, I want the guy he was traded for, though.
Who, Lou Williams?
Yeah.
You want... Okay, so yeah, let's... So this is already, again, worth noting. Whenever you start caping, or whenever, not you, but anyone starts caping for Lou Williams, or... Nikola Jokic, who we've got to mention. We already need to cut down 2 players as is. But now, yeah, let's bring up Lou.
So we've spoken about Lou at mm-hmm. length before. He's having an absolute elite offensive season.
Yep.
23 points a game, 5 assists, doing it in 31.5 minutes, shooting 41 from 3 on 7 attempts. He's also getting to the line where he shoots 91%. He has a true shooting percentage of 60, almost 61 actually, and his average shot distance is 15.4 feet. Look, this guy is just amazing right now. He's absolutely amazing, and one of the reasons why I would be willing to sacrifice one of the routine all-stars is because you also need to acknowledge players stepping up in career years
mm-hmm.
and giving them a chance to shine a little bit.
Sure.
And that goes against the way I feel about season-ending awards. I know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because when it comes to awards, I'm like, nope, if you deserve it, you should get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because so many people put a lot of stock into All-Stars. I don't really care about the All-Star event all that. So
right,
this
right,
is an
right.
area where I can sort of say, you know what? I have a double standard and I don't care.
Fair.
Because the All-Star game is just like, yeah, fine, get some new players in there. Get some fresh blood. It's always yeah. interesting to see new players. Uh-huh. So I would probably pick Lou into that. But who I'm taking out, that's what I need to figure out over the right. next couple of minutes, because I'm not yeah. sure. This is a okay. tight-ass field.
So... Let's go for the 2 Nuggets guys. Jokic or Gary Harris, do you think either one of them have a chance?
I mean, Jokic is the closest, undoubtedly. Mm-hmm. But I would kind of be surprised, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Not to say that these guys aren't deserving. It's just a question of there are 12 spots. And
right.
This is what we were afraid of coming into the year, was there was so much of a talent influx in the West,
mm-hmm.
that we figured... You know, there are going to be too many talented guys, not enough spots. We were afraid that the East was going to be impossible to fill out, which was luckily not the case, and we'll discuss that shortly. So it sounds like we both agree, if we had to leave people out from that list of nine, Lillard and CP3 would be the two to get cut. CP3 just because he hasn't played enough games.
Yeah.
Lillard because his production's down. The Blazers are further down in the standings, and... I mean, not that they play defense in the All-Star game, but he is more of a one-way player than a Klay Thompson.
Right, but then theoretically you could apply that logic to Russell Westbrook these days as well.
True, yeah.
And Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, that's true. You think Clint Capella has any chance?
I would love to see Clint in there. I don't think he plays enough minutes. He's at 26 a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his production is definitely all-star worthy,
right?
When you look at the per 36, mm-hmm. but the raw numbers, they're probably lacking a little bit. But
yeah,
I would love to see him in there. Like, he's built for an all-star format.
Yeah, he would be super fun. Yeah,
it's so funny. I keep saying I would love to see him. I'm not gonna watch the damn game.
Like, right?
Yeah, I would love to see him. Yeah, right. I'm gonna play Pac-Man while you guys watch the game. That's fine.
You would love for him to get the distinction.
We'll that's right. That's right. And for the fans to enjoy his pick and rolls, mm-hmm. And his lobs, you know, that's just, that would, I think for fans who enjoy that kind of environment, they would really dig him in the All-Star format. Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree with that. I would like to see Steven Adams in there too, for the same reason. I don't think he's going to get there. I mean, he has to beat out, like, you know, if OKC is getting two, it's going to be Westbrook and Paul George. But
Steven Adams, really? You want an all-star game with hard screens? I like that.
Yeah. Well, have you seen Jimmy's quote from...
Oh, yeah.
Where he's like, yeah. I ran into one screen and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, let's bring some physicality back to the all-star game. It'd be fun.
Now, see, that I would watch.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, I'm with you. The like 170 to 160, you get bored after a while. It's like, it's exciting for the first 10 minutes, and then you're like, oh, they're just going to do this the entire game.
Look, okay. I haven't watched the All-Star game for, I think, 3 years now. The entire All-Star weekend has just been... I just ignore the entire All-Star festivity. I block it all out. And I just spent the weekend as if the NBA is on leave, so I won't have to stay up late to watch games.
Fair, yeah.
Like family time and stuff.
Right, yeah. We do all need to take that 1 week break in the middle, because then we get lost for 4 months. Five months, because then it just goes finals, draft, free agency, bam, bam, bam.
Exactly. Like, the summer for us was the busiest part last year. Yeah.
Right.
Oh
right.
My God! I felt like we recorded every day, but I loved it. Like,
yeah,
I'm really looking forward to like the draft and free agency more than I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I don't know if it's that weird. That's weird, but that's
one
bread and butter.
One feels preordained, and the other one is just pure madness. So it makes sense.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Well, luckily, Mort, this year Joel Embiid is going to make the All-Star game great again. Because it looks like he's going to be a starter. It's going to be him, as we mentioned at the top. It's going to be Irving, DeRozan, LeBron, Giannis, Embiid, as far as we know. And that's what we're assuming. Yeah. So again, let's go down the list of the Eastern Conference guys. Figure out who is a possible reserve, who are the locks, who are the guys who will be in contention, and who the snubs will be.
All right.
Let's start with Kristaps Porzingis.
Lock.
Yep. Kevin Love.
Nah.
Oh, cold. Cold-blooded. Okay. Horford.
Lock.
Yeah. Oladipo.
Lock.
Yep. Bradley Beal.
Lock.
I like it. Yeah, I would call him a lock as well. So again, yeah, we're at 9 already. We've got both of our guards filled out with Depot and Beal. We have Horford and Porzingis, so that's 2 of the 3 front court. So we need one more front court and 2 wild cards. John Wall.
Wild card.
Do you think he's a lock?
I would hope so. I know his numbers are down, but it's John Wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think he's going to make it. I would not call him a lock.
Yeah.
Andre Drummond.
Based on the season he's having right now.
Mm-hmm.
Screw it. Lock.
Whoa. Yeah. Again, I think he's going to make it. I wouldn't call him a lock, though.
I would call him a lock because of what Detroit is doing right now.
You have him in over Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, wow. I'm sorry, but look, here's my thing with Kevin Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not asked to do anything remotely close as to what he did in Minnesota.
Sure.
Right now, he is more or less just playing off of LeBron James, mm-hmm, primarily. And I get that this is unfair, so let me just go into this.
Right.
But I don't think... I do think that you should be viewed in your totality. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to look at how you're being set up, how you are getting your points, how you're getting your production. So Kevin Love he's playing just 29 minutes. Yep. And in those minutes, like, he's producing 19 and almost 10 boards. Like, he's, mm-hmm, doing well. And he's also getting to the free throw line, which is one thing I really, really enjoy about him. He's begun doing that. So when he's on the ball himself, when he's creating himself, he does get to the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's playing with LeBron, there's this level of, oh, I can completely take a backseat. I can completely just stay out of the offensive schemes and just, like, waddle around and just look for kickouts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's a guy who right now is doing enough on the court to be an all-star. Now, people are going to slam me for that, and that's fine. I get the opposite view of that. Like, but he's producing and he's doing so efficiently. Yeah, absolutely. That's fine if you want to look at it that way. But he's not... I mean, he's feeding off someone who draws in so much attention.
Yeah.
It just makes the game so much easier. And then people are going to go, oh, but that isn't that the case with Kevin Durant and Steph Curry? Not to the same extent, no, because they are all-around players. And, you know, we just talked about one-way players. Hi, Kevin Love.
Right? That's fair. I definitely would not call Kevin Love a lock. I do expect him to get in.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, last year, he averaged 19 and 11 in 31 minutes, and he made it in.
Mm-hmm.
This year, he's averaging 19 and almost 10 in 29 minutes.
Yeah, he's better this year than he was last year, and I didn't want him in the game last year. I like the fact that he played a lot better last year than he had in his first two seasons in Cleveland,
mm-hmm,
and I appreciated that fact, but I didn't think he was, like, an all-star candidate.
And this year he's playing even better than he did last year.
Yeah, but still, he's feeding off of it, and he's not even playing, like, that many minutes. Like, we mentioned Clint Capella early on. Right. He's playing 26 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So, should a 3, or actually a 2.9 minute difference really be the ultimate outcome? I don't know.
I think if Clint Capella was in the East, though, he'd have a more compelling All-Star case.
That's true. Kevin Love sits for, what, 19 minutes a game?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. Yeah. I mean, much like Lou Williams, if he was in the East, he would have a much more convincing All-Star case, too. I mean, there are 12 guys deserving of All-Star spots in the East, but the talent disparity between the two conferences it's real. I mean, the 12th best player in the East is going to be worse than the 12th best player in the West. Like, you have to, the snubs are going to be more quote unquote egregious in the West.
Right.
Like, a Damian Lillard would be starting in the East.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. And here's a point to back up everything I said. Kevin Love is assisted on 75.6% of all his field goals.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. I definitely would not cape for him as a all-star starter, or even, like, I think he's going to be, maybe he squeezes in as a wild card, or, like, I don't know whatever designation he's going to get. I mean, he is, among qualified players, he's 14th right now in the NBA in terms of PER. This is, you know, his highest PER season in Cleveland. He has a true shooting percentage of...
Oh, it's great. North, like, he's a
yeah, 61%. Yeah. I mean, yes, he's not asked to create as much, nowhere near as much as he did back in Minnesota. So that's a fair critique of him. But I just think, especially if he made it last year, I can't rationalize letting him in last year. He's having a better season this year and not having him in this year.
No, I get that. And it's also not a hill I want to die on.
Sure.
Like, yeah. I mean, I get it. If he gets in, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, I kind of see that. That's fine. But it's not the Kevin Love that we were accustomed to in Minnesota as well. Like, if you look at his assist numbers also, like, it just shows that the offense is just not running through him in any capacity that he used to.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, that just draws it down a little bit.
That's fair. Ben Simmons.
No.
Oh, Ben.
Don't. Well, at least your boner went down.
Yeah. Womp womp. Mm-hmm. How about Aaron Gordon?
I mean, I wanted him in there, but, you know, Andre Drummond came out of nowhere and surprised the living daylight out of me. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, I think he's going to be on the list of, like, you know, every major media outlet will have a, like, all-star snub slideshow the second the reserves are announced. Aaron Gordon will be among that list.
Yeah.
But I do think his case is less convincing than any of the guys, including Ben Simmons, who we've mentioned so far.
Yeah, because of the poor team record?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You can't go 4-26 over your last 30 games would be...
No.
No. That we'll always have that first, like, 3 weeks, though, when they were 8-4, and they tricked us all into thinking, like, oh, maybe we slept on the Magic this year.
But maybe we should talk about something real quick.
Uh-huh.
Isn't this completely stupid, though?
This is a game. Record in.
Yeah, because this is a game, like you said, like, they're just giving each other open dunks. Oh, yeah, sure, let's reward winning. Like, what? Yeah. Why? Why? Like, Aaron Gordon... I would rather see him in that type of setup, or I'm assuming fans would rather see him in that type of setup than freaking Kevin Love or Al Horford.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully Aaron Gordon will at least be in the dunk contest, so, like, he'll still be a presence at All-Star Weekend.
I mean, I'm just saying, the All-Star game, why take winning into account when it's just about showmanship? Like, just... This whole fiasco of the weekend, it needs to be fixed. And I know that, oh, we fixed it with a draft. No, you didn't.
Yeah. So let's finish talking about the East. And that does make me think about one other thing I want to discuss in terms of the All-Star. So,
perfect.
Kyle Lowry, do you think he has a...
Okay. No.
So among the eight we listed, not counting Gordon and Lowry, Simmons is the guy you leave off.
Mm-hmm.
It pains me to say it, but I agree.
I think
he will be an all-star at some point, but the fact he has slowed down somewhat. I mean, he started off so incredibly hot, and now over the past couple weeks, he's slowed down. It's not arguable. I mean, he's still playing really well, but it's not at the all-star level he was at the first month of the season. So,
yep. We'll see if that continues, because in the last episode, I argued that Donovan Mitchell should win Roy, so we'll see.
Right.
I feel like I should get a prize, by the way, if Donovan Mitchell wins Roy, by the way. Just something.
Yeah, I will retweet the episode where you predict, or where you asked why he's not in the conversation for Rookie of the Year.
You're so generous.
All right, so that does bring up a point that, you know, the idea of, like, why I want to see how I phrase this so I don't get my mentions flooded with angry Celtics and Spurs fans. But like a guy like Horford or a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, who are not like flashy, exciting players, they are good, right, fundamentally sound players who are invaluable members of, you know, top five teams in the NBA right now. So it's nothing against those guys, but you're right. Like they are a bad fit in like an alley-oop fest, which is what the All-Star game is.
Yeah.
So the question is like, well, yeah, why wouldn't you want a Lou Williams in there who's just, or like, shit, why wouldn't you want like a Nick Young in there? Why wouldn't you just want like YOLO, you know? Like,
exactly. If you want a bad product, get the flashy types. Get Zach LaVine in there, even though he hasn't played a game yet.
Right. But the fact they tie contract incentives to the All-Star game
is ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, that's where I draw the line, though. Like, I don't think, you know, like we've said it before, Anthony Davis missed out on $25 million because he was not named an All-Star game starter.
Yeah.
Like,
can I just compare that to something?
Yeah.
Like, let's say that I work at an office, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like I do, like say I'm a journalist. Let's say I'm a journalist and I write articles and whatever. And I make strong, I make high quality work, right? Let's just say that. I'm sack low. And then ESPN comes to me and they go, you know what? If you get X amount of page views, we're going to give you $25 million. And then he falls like one page view short of that goal, and he misses out on $25 million. Like, his quality did not diminish because he did not get enough clicks.
Sure.
At any point, like his was still worth reading, still worth writing. It was arguably the best content in America from a sports writing perspective. But because of some arbitrary thing coming in, like, oh, he missed out on $25 million. Right. That's, it could not be more stupid.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, it's, I think the All-NBA, like the criteria for making an All-NBA team, Defensive Player of the Year, MVP, all of that makes perfect sense. Yeah, I know there's some, it's still like kind of weird because all NBA is voted on by media, so, you know, it's still
right,
like,
but it's more, it's more thorough.
Yeah, right. It's, I mean, I think in part this whole system of, you know, the All-Star game starters now are 50% fan vote, 25% player vote, 25% coaches vote, because they wanted to prevent, who was it a couple years ago? Was it Cantor that had a ridiculous number of votes and like almost became a starter? And this happened in the NHL recently too, when like a kind of like a gag campaign led to this guy who like was not anywhere near All-Star caliber becoming a start, like an All-Star.
Yeah, but he won the All-Star game MVP, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, sure. You're asking the wrong person about hockey.
Yeah. I just remembered that one, but no.
Yeah, but like, I mean, so, you know, they try to avoid a situation where Manu Ginobili is going to get voted in as a starter, and then that means whoever. I don't think any guards would actually be punished for it this year, but, you know,
hypothetically. You do know that Manu would kind of decline it, right?
Hopefully. If he knows what's just in this world, hopefully. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of, you're right that it's gross to like have voting totals and just All-Star in general being tied to contracts. Mm. I mean, but is there a better system, or should it just be like, that's just not a thing. Like, we will give you more money if you reach certain thresholds, if you reach 70 games played. Like, I think Deion Waiters has that in his contract this year.
Yeah, I mean, I would rather have that. And then remove every All-Star related clause.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you just said something that got me thinking, like, how to fix it. Like, fix the All-Star game. And the It's just interesting because the first thought that went into my head was just remove it. Like, delete the whole event. Like, just get rid of it.
But I also recognize that I'm a hardcore. So when I say that, I'm not speaking on behalf of the guys who, you know, go to YouTube and Facebook or whatever to watch a few clips.
Yeah.
And go, oh, that's nice. Look at this dunk. I'm just going to tag you, you know, Michael, whatever, because this is awesome. And the NBA needs those fans. Like, this is not a hardcore or no one type right. of situation.
Right.
So, but I do think the NBA would really cater to their hardcore community if they did something else where we could watch a respectable brand of basketball. And I'm not sure what that solution is. Maybe you actually make two different all-star type of games. I know you have the rookie game or whatever you want to call it now. The challenge, whatever, I don't know.
Right, rookie sophomore game or whatever.
Rookie sophomore, whatever. I mean, look, again, it's, yeah. But it's essentially, I mean, the same game now. Yeah. The all-star game and the rookie game. Like, I remember 15 years ago, and I'm lying. That's 17 years, 18 years ago now. God, I'm old, Brian. I remember the 2000, like when it was the Elton Brand and Steve Francis and those guys. Like, that was the inexperienced, we're trying to oop everything kind of game. Jason Williams going behind the back, elbow pass and whatnot.
Right.
And then this was in Oakland, by the way. I remember I was sitting in a Chinese hotel room watching this whole event. And then the All-Star game on Sunday in Oakland was like, okay, you had Vince Carter doing some 360s. You had Shaq doing a 360 and a few things. But that was kind of it. Like, the game was competitive. Lots of contested mid-range shots, like where you communicated and like set out plays and stuff. Like, I remember, oh, okay, there's a significant difference from the kids to the grown-up game. And I'm putting that, you know, in quotation marks. Nowadays, it's just the same. All throughout the weekend, it's the same low-quality product.
Yeah.
And that does not mesh with the fact that we are in a league right now that has the highest quality ever.
Right. I mean, I agree with you that it'd be cool. I'm interested to see if this format changes the competitiveness of it. Like, maybe, again, it speaks to why they should televise the draft, because maybe, you know, it looks like LeBron's going to be the captain of one team, and then whoever the top vote getter of the West, it's
probably
either going to be
Steph, right?
Yeah, Steph or KD. It's going to be one of the two.
Yeah.
And Steph has said he wants to do it, and KD's like, no, I just want to hoop. I don't care about that shit. So, like, if they televise the draft, that would help, I think. That would at least bolster interest going into the event. But then I'm interested to see, like, if Steph doesn't pick, like, Clay or Draymond. Like, LeBron picks Draymond. Is Dray gonna, like, set a hard screen on Steph just to be like, yo, that was a dick move? Probably not, because he doesn't want to hurt his superstar going into the playoffs. But,
yeah,
you know, it'll be fun to see teammates going at it against one another. If
that
comes,
is that the attraction? Like, for you, I know, because it's anarchy, and I know you crave anarchy, but,
yeah,
like, what's the attraction there? Like, what's the added value?
I think it'll just be fun to see, you know, we don't get to see teammates going at against one another unless they change teams, in which case, you know, like, what was the marquee opening night matchup this year? It was Kyrie Irving versus LeBron James and the Cavaliers.
Right, but I mean, the quality of the game action, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's gonna be the same.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I'm just like, I think this would be totally hard ass, right? But, like, you should have an all-star committee, and then these guys should determine whether a guy played hard. And then if he didn't, he's banned from the All-Star game for the next season.
Yeah.
I know that's like a completely elitist perspective, but I would love that. Just like, play hard or you're not making the All-Star game next year. Yeah. So when you're in 20, 30 years, you're looking back at your career and you go, oh no, I only had 7 All-Star selections instead of maybe 11. Like, just think on who that falls on. That's you. You could have changed that by just playing hard for a game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know if there's anything the NBA can do short of, as you said, making it like $1 million. But even still, like, are those guys going to play hard defense against a teammate for $1 million when they're all making 15 to 20 million, if all not right. more, per year?
All right, so let's go into death traps. Family-related death traps. We'll kill a family member. I don't know.
That would do it.
That would do it. I don't. I honestly don't know. I mean, I think it's a mockery to the game of basketball.
Yeah.
I really do. I feel offended when I watch an All-Star game.
It's just like the Harlem Globetrotters on both sides.
It is. It is. Although, the Harlem Globetrotters, like, you actively go into that knowing it's fun and games.
Right.
Like,
right.
Here you pay, like, thousands and thousands of dollars to go in and see the greatest of the great. And all they do is jog around and throw up, like, half-court alley-oops that are, yeah. like, with not contested or anything. And I'm not saying go play so hard that someone is gonna break a leg. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just... put in some effort so people want to see it. You're not like the NBA argues this promotes their product. I am arguing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Like, so sure. You. Yeah. What?
Like, is it that I'm wondering if like a matter of rule changes would help mm-hmm. make it more entertaining. So like put in, you know, there's been not seriously floated, but like the idea of a 4-point line has been discussed before.
Oh god.
Add the 4-point line to the All-Star game. Do the FIBA rules of like no offensive goaltending. Like change the rules of the game to make it more conducive to a fun environment. Would that do anything for you?
Nah.
I just hate the All-Star game.
No, I mean look, I have an idea. This is batshit crazy right off the bat.
Okay.
A reverse shot clock. You're not allowed to take a shot after, you know, before 15 seconds has passed or something.
You have to, yeah.
The defense has to be established. So forget everything about transition dunks. Not right. going to happen. Like,
No. They want to promote that style of play. Not to the point, I think everyone knows, even the players admit, and that's what led to this format change, was like, the degree to which it has gotten bastardized in the last couple of years was too much. But I do think, like, adding a couple, like, just, you know, it's basically, the All-Star game is basically just NBA Jam.
So, yeah, like, yes.
Just make it NBA Jam rules. Just, like, add some fun rules to, like, I think the 4-point line would be fun. I think a no goaltending rule would be fun.
Right, okay, but then what about Al Horford?
Yeah, like, no, I, what, right, like, but, like, those guys don't, they get selected, but, like, more often than not, especially the older guys, it seems like they talk to the coach, it's like, yo, I just want to rest, like, play me for 5 minutes, and then, like, yeah, let Zach LaVine play for 30.
All right, I think I got it.
Okay.
So a player's selected,
mm-hmm.
but he's given the choice on whether or not that he can, that he wants to participate or not. Okay?
Okay.
And if he chooses not to, he will sit down. This is a mandatory thing. He will sit down with Adam Silver, and together they'll come up with a replacement player that makes sense for the format.
Like a good player or a young player?
So exactly. So, like, let's say the All-Star game is in a couple years. Let's say it's primarily dominated by guys who are 27 or less, right?
Uh-huh.
And let's say you have an old guy getting selected. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know what? I don't want to play. So he sits down with Adam Silver and he goes, you know what? I don't want to play. All right, that's fine. Let's find a player. So they go over the rosters and they go, okay, so what's the age? Like, what kind of game are we looking at? Like, they analyze it. And sure. then we go, like, what kind of player would fit this type of product? And then together mm-hmm. they select a guy. So the player's input is still being valued. Mm-hmm. He still has an indirect hand in how the game is played, even though mm-hmm. he doesn't participate. He'll still be credited as an All-Star, and the new guy will also be credited as an All-Star because, you know, why not? I mean, sure. we've seen replacement guys get that title before. And then it'll just be like a decision where guys can bow out if they feel like, ugh, I don't want to do this. And then you get a hungrier guy in. Oh, and right, the catch should be it's a guy who should never have made the All-Star team before.
I'd be morbidly intrigued. I think I'd be very surprised if anything, if they went down that road, because I think half of the appeal of the All-Star game is, you know, you have to avoid a situation where a LeBron James opts out. Like, I think that's doomsday for the All-Star game if you start having, like, what the NFL does with the Pro Bowl, where...
You told me.
Where it was just... like, a lot of players do not end up going, and then you end up having, like, you know, like, Dario Saric would be an All-Star. No offense to Dario. But, you know, that is what the NBA does not want. I think they do enjoy having all the talent together. And I think, frankly, it seems like the guys themselves enjoy being around one another. Like, it does seem like the superstars all enjoy being around each other for, you know, probably just because they all throw ridiculous parties in whichever city they're in.
Yeah, and that's the low point. That's boring. Hey, let's go out for 3 hours and dap each other. What the hell is fun with that? Like, I know I'm from the old school. I know. Yeah. I loved Michael Jordan taking things personally. I loved Larry Bird taking everything personally. I love that, but I'm not. I don't want to go back to, you know, near fist fights or whatever, because that was stupid.
Right.
I do want to go back to the sweet spot before the league got as friendly as it is now, and after, you know, physical violence was outlawed on the court, like the late 90s. I want to go back to that. The game was taken serious by everyone involved. And there was like this little bit of, I'm going to kick your ass and I'm not talking to you. But it wasn't to the point of physical violence.
Yeah.
That's what I want in an All-Star game format. And it's not a coincidence that those games, like, you're a Sixers fan. You remember 2001 in Washington. I know you do. With Allen Iverson winning the MVP and the overtime game. I've watched that game, I think, 30 times. That is... For all the All-Star games I've seen throughout the course of my life, that's my by far the most favorite one. And why? Because it was in the entire second half, at least, where you did not see a possession that was just bullshitted.
Right.
I want the serious element back, Brian. I'm old, and I can't take all this, hey, let's... you know, fucking put up an Instagram post while I'm in the air. I don't want all that. I don't want that.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about the All-Star game nonstop with you for the next month. It's going to go great.
Yeah. I know. I'm so sorry, but I'm an old fart when it comes to that. You know who I am.
Yeah. No, I think it's a discussion worth having, because clearly the NBA is aware of the problem. They're proactively trying to make it better. So
yes.
I'm interested to see how this format change affects things. Again, I think televising the draft would have been an even better way to drum up the hype. Maybe they're like dipping their toes into the water this year. They're doing the format change, and then now that they see it's harmless and no one got their feelings hurt, next year they'll televise it. If that's the case, so be it. But yeah,
still not gonna change the product, man.
Right. It might not. But I'm excited to see if or how it does.
I'm gonna kill your pet if you don't play well. That should just.
We gotta stop trying to threaten lives of family members and or.
I don't care. I want a better product, Brian. You're right. But maybe it's all about just communicating to the players.
Please give a shit.
Yeah, but like maybe look, LeBron is a smart guy. I think if Adam Silver reached out to him on a personal level at some point and just said, "Look, sit down with me and watch the last All-Star game." Look, this is not something you talk to LeBron and you go, you know what, you respect great basketball. You always have. You always will. You're a student of the game. You want the new generation who comes in to be high IQ players. Like, every time you see a young kid who's got a high IQ, you always compliment him. This type of game does not inspire high IQ players coming up
for young guys who are being exposed to basketball for the first time, this is not a good first time introduction.
That's fair.
That would be like, I think that's a way where LeBron would be like, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
And yeah. If LeBron sees it, everyone else will.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we will discuss the All-Star game plenty in the weeks to come. Once the starters and reserves are announced, we will break that down and hopefully we'll have time. I think I get back the day the reserves are announced, so hopefully we can sneak in an episode between the announcement of the reserves and the announcement of the teams. We can speculate who's going to pick who, all that good stuff. But it should be, at least it'll be an interesting weekend. So stay tuned for plenty of All-Star coverage, much to Mort's chagrin, in the weeks to come.
It's okay. It's one weekend. I'll live.
Yeah, you'll survive. In the meantime, please follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio as well. So please, please go razz Morton on Twitter about his love for the All-Star game and All-Star weekend. You can also find us on iTunes. So follow us there, subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. We'd love any feedback. We're being hosted this year on FanRag Sports. So check them out on Twitter at FanRag Sports. And for their NBA content, the handle has changed. It is now FRS Hoops with a Z. So FRSHOOPZ. Until next
That's
time.
That's how you fix the All-Star game. You just put a Z instead of... Yeah.
All-Star game.
All-Star game, yeah.
Until next time, I'm Brian Zaporik, and I was joined, as always, by Morton Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian.